It is the 1920s. All across Europe, people are coming to terms with the aftermath of a world torn by war. In Germany, Hitler has begun his rise to the top of the National Socialist Party. Anarchists run riot, the Russian royal family has been deposed, and it seems as if the British Empire has enemies on all sides. But it is not that story that we're dealing with. Other things lurk in the shadows. Older things. Things that have no concept of humanity. Things that have lain in wait since before humans walked the planet. Sanity-blasting horrors, worshipped by the mad and the deluded, they hide behind our world. Waiting. Waiting until the stars were right. Running under the 7th edition of Call of Cthulhu, we now embark on Horror on the Orient Express.
Welcome to episode 113 of the Cult of Tea and Dice. And tonight, we will be doing Call of Cthulhu!
Woo!
Call of Cthulhu, 7th edition. And we are playing Horror on the Orient Express. And they have finally gotten to Venice. Which is the furthest I've ever gotten running one of these events. Woo. So, that's pretty impressive. I'm quite pleased with that. Who are you? I'm Mordrigan. I'm the GM.
I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Clarissa Click.
I'm Archive, and I'm playing Tiny Tim Boxley.
I am Bloodied. I'm playing Alderman Wartstash.
And I'm Mordrigan, and I'm the GM.
You're repeating yourself.
Yes. You are now, well, you're probably not actually in Venice, you're heading towards Venice. But could you please recap what happened last week while I read the today's chapter?
Sorry, a bit of batter went down the wrong way there. I'm eating a battered sausage.
Better than sausage going just down the wrong way.
We've there all been there.
There is not enough words. But anyway.
There are anyway. Too many words. But anyway.
Yes. So, okay, what was the last thing you remember?
Weren't you sitting on, Flavio Conti or whatever his name was?
Oh, golly, yes, so I was. I just, like, taking his shirt off.
And that doesn't sound rude at all.
And he turned out he had weird scars.
Yes.
Because he nicked someone's lungs. Or something.
Yeah.
We interrogated him.
Not terribly well, to be honest.
Well, we did manage to trick some information out of him. We realised that the lungs were from the unfortunate gentleman who worked at the Alfa Romeo factory. The,
Ennio Spinola.
Yes, Mr. Spinola. It was okay, though, because he was a socialist, so he apparently deserved it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And he managed to let slip that, it was, who was that again,
the Brothers of the Skin.
Yes, the Brothers of the Skin, were involved with this, and that the specific loon leader here was,
the other guy.
Yeah, from the other,
Who is Faccia.
Yes, Signor Faccia was the man responsible for this. Once the police had arrived and actually believed
not us, arrested you.
Not no, arrested.
The doctor turned up first
was like, yes, this man is clearly mad.
And we did persuade him that he needed to go into an asylum.
Yeah. And the police were like, well, okay, fair enough, but don't leave town.
So I'm sure that you can get your baby.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
He shot at a woman.
Yeah, he'd do that.
Madman.
So we then decided to try and track down that chair. So we went to his house because he had his address from the guy's desk. But he wasn't there, said his butler.
Honest.
Miss Governor. Ignore the twitchy curtains.
Well, it did seem like he wasn't. Because the twitchy curtains was actually when he's back inside.
Mm. He's like, are they still there? Are they still there?
Why aren't they going
they're
away?
Still there.
We wasted quite a lot of time trying to go around the Alfa Romeo factories going, yeah. But that didn't really get us anywhere. It could have worked. There was more singing during the night, but no one got, you know, that was, we just heard it, no one kind of jumped out of bed or anything.
So basically we sort of didn't really do much until the opening night of the opera.
We did all wake up, or some of us woke up with rashes on our stomach.
Yes.
Which is a bit odd.
Because we had a bit of a thought. We basically started to think about this whole, the curse business at the opera. I mean, like, how had been the curse, the costumer's curse. But then it stopped being costumer's curse and become a curse on this production on the stage. And then we remembered how they mentioned how there was this old dressmaker's dummy thing that had been borrowed for this production as a stage prop. And hey, do you remember what happened was going on with all those people's arms near where that Death Star Simulacrum arm was? How their arms
were kind
of
stopped working
funny.
And
yeah.
You know, like mangy.
Yeah, and how all these weird injuries seem to be torso related. So we figured we should keep on our eyes open and we would probably see the torso of the Sedefgar Simulacrum.
Cunning.
Yes, and it turned out that the opening night we did in fact see that. But before that, Nick's character's name now.
Izzy.
Spotted something odd in the audience. There was a man with an old woman and the butler and another guy. And we realised that must be Thatcher. And then during the aria, which if you sing along with it, supposedly your heart's wish comes true, the man was singing along, but not with his own voice.
Oh no.
Oh no. He was singing along with
Katerina
Camelona's voice.
What?
He was singing, but his voice was Katerina Cavallero's voice.
Yeah, I repeat my earlier statement.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. There was a lot of sanity lost from that.
Yeah, especially also when she started to figure out, hey, that old lady next to him, the one who appears to be crying and isn't making any sounds. Oh, yeah.
That's not his mother, is it?
That's not his mother, is it? No. And then both weird people and us simultaneously spotted what was obviously the torso of the Sedefgar Simulacrum.
There was basically a scene in the opera where there's some armour on display and then the hero guy has it put on, and what the armour was being like displayed on was the body of the
And we also basically went, ah! And Thatcher and co. went out the front to go around to get to it, whereas we snuck in using the routes we knew from last time we were backstage, so we got to it first.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Given how lost we got backstage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had some good luck.
Well, Izzy remembered which way to go, so.
Yeah, so Izzy led us there, and
Carissa pretty much was going, what the hell is going on?
We managed to get to it, and we're trying to wheel it away when Thatcher and co. showed up. Which point, Izzy managed to get Senora Cavallero to realise what happened to her, at which point, while screaming at him in the man's own voice, she started trying to beat the man up. And was kicking his ass, by all accounts.
she was.
Pissed off lady.
Yeah, she was definitely winning.
Well, we heroically didn't try and help her and just ran away with the torso.
Well, there were two, like, burly...
Brave Sir Robin, he bravely ran
away. They weren't that burly. One of them was just like...
This
normal guy, and the other guy wasn't so much burly as he was a bit fat.
Ah, but he could have been one hell of a boy. That is an inject. Maybe I forget.
Okay.
Well, basically, we wanted to get the torso away.
And we did!
Yeah.
With a bit of luck, we exited through the bust fire escape that had been mentioned to us and safely made it away. And we then skipped town the next morning, despite what the police had told us. Oh, and Thatcher died.
His body was found on the roof of the cathedral.
As the but has been killed by a wild animal.
What was a chameleon about?
We don't know in character, do we?
We don't know.
We've been told out of character, but listeners at home, email us with wacky suggestions as to what the fuck the chameleon had to do with anything.
The cult of Dean Dice at gmail.com.
Bonus points for wacky suggestions. Bloody might try and draw them in stick figure form. Shits and giggles.
Oh god. Oh
stick god. Figure chameleon.
Yeah, I can't draw any other than stick figures, so.
Yeah. So, if I remember correctly, we left off as he rushed to the train the next day to get onto it and head off towards glorious Venice.
Ooh, where's the guidebook?
Where is the guidebook? Also, where are your list of clues and leads? Because you might want to know what clues and leads you've got for Venice.
Okay, ooh.
In fact, I believe you've got at least two handouts that refer to Venice.
Okay. Right, well, from Beddoe's notes, we say that Napoleon's soldiers carried a piece into Venice when they invaded the city. Okay, nothing else in my notes about Venice.
I'm not certain. Right. If I remember correctly, you do have a potential book to find here. I believe you found out about a book that might be here in Paris. Please excuse us while there is a brief period of looking at their actual clues. I'm going to pause it while you...
Hold on a minute.
So anyway, have you found out about the Devil Simulacre?
Right. So, in Paris...
Is it the same thing?
No, I don't think it. I think we've had a...
Because if you have the night sleep and then open
is it
night,
Thursday the when... Thursday the
so,
first of February.
Yeah. So anyway, I've lost the page again now. Right, so anyway, in Paris, this must have been...
I think it was library research in Bibliothèque Nationale.
Yes, because we got the letter that allowed us in from the ambassador.
Yes, you did.
And we looked at the Devil Simulacre. I'm assuming that's from some handout that we... Some information that we had about it.
Yes, I believe in London you found out that that book might be connected to the Sudeikis Simulacre.
And it's a Latin manuscript from 1565, written by the Mad Cleric, or associated with the Mad Cleric. That is allegedly kept in San Marie Celeste in Venice.
Yes.
Which I'm guessing is some kind of church or something.
San Maria Celeste does sound like church. In other news, what other information do you have about Sudeikari things here in Venice?
Is there anything else?
Just a bit about there being a piece brought in by Napoleonic soldiers.
So possibly you need to find some form of library that might have such information in it.
Does anyone speak any kind of useful language there?
I believe you once again don't have your Italian speaker.
Yes, because Izzy is the Italian speaker.
Or Lobster. I believe he also speaks Italian.
Useful.
Sadly, he also is here right now. So.
Well, according to the Traveller's Companion for the Orange Express, there is a library contained over 550,000 printed volumes, 13,000 manuscripts, so that would be easy to find then. There's obviously the Grand Canal and associated waterways, so I'm not sure how good I'm going to be with boats, but kind of the way to get round.
Does anyone have anything other than the basic 20% in swim?
No.
You know, just in case.
No, hopefully it won't come to that, because I'm not sure, like, the cow's going to be particularly
pleasant,
but presumably it's a bit sewery, like all the rest of the rivers in Europe at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there is the Piazza San Marco. This is the one true square in Venice.
Oh, great.
Which seems to have the library on one side, and then the Basilica of St. Mark on the other. And then there are a couple of hotels and restaurants around there. There's a friary over the other side of the city. And an academia. It doesn't kind of specify what that
is. Did it say what the monastery's called?
No. It's just one of the things pointed out on the map. There isn't actually any kind of blurb about it particularly. So I guess we need to find somewhere to stay.
Do you want a good start?
No, not me yet.
Well, okay, fair enough.
You can get on a train then.
You are on the train.
Oh, right.
You got on the train. It's not going to take very long to get to Venice. I think it's something like, what, 3 or 4 hours
from Venice? Milan to Venice. It's...
feels like an hour and a half, isn't it? A bit longer. Oh, no, wait. 3 hours and a half.
So it's nearly 4 hours.
Yeah.
Well, you don't bother getting your sleeping compartments for that. Because thankfully.
It's the afternoon as well, which from like 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
It's not worth the bother. So you just sort of sit in the saloon. And a fair few other people are also sat in the saloon. The most obvious one, being, you take it to probably be an Italian lady. Fairly young, not bad looking, but is dressed all in black. And even wearing a black veil, and she's sort of quietly weeping to herself, and the kids go, "Oh, papa, papa," and holding this little silver locket and dabbing at her eyes. Next to her is this middle-aged maid who looks like she regularly wrestles bulls every morning for breakfast. But yeah, she's pretty much sat there. There's nobody else really around that you recognise. The old woman who you bumped into and the younger woman are there in one corner.
I will keep my hand over my wallet.
They seem to be having a sort of quiet conversation to themselves. So what are you doing? Anything good?
Apparently not.
No.
When we're on this train, have we got papers?
Tim, don't get any ideas. Be idea-free with regards to that.
What?
You know what I mean.
I don't.
Tim, when you ask questions like that, and when you smile when you're told no, I know what you're thinking.
You can get a drink.
Yes, you can have a drink. Don't have a lot of drinks. It's the afternoon. We need you sober.
I'm gonna get a drink.
What are you getting drink-wise?
The most expensive looking thing I can see, so I have to pay for it.
Champagne!
Alright.
You get this little fluted glass of fizzy, well, you're not sure what it is. Might be some form of pale ale.
I'll drink it.
It doesn't taste all that strong, and it tastes like it's gone off a bit. What the rest of you doing while you sampling the joys of the saloon car?
Well, we need to figure out what it's saying.
Well, there are a couple of places mentioned. There is hotels. There's the Gritti Palace. That's like right on the Grand Canal. It's the most luxurious. That sounds expensive. The Daniel, a favoured haunt of literateurs and statesmen.
Mm-hmm.
even peace. There are bed and breakfast flats available.
That would actually provide some privacy.
Yeah. And that's the only information about a hotel. It just says it's best to eat at your hotel.
Why?
Presumably everywhere else is either expensive or crap and awful.
Is there anything sweet on this train?
We do have a rather sweet sherry, if you would like to try that.
Sweet, alright.
You have a sweet sherry. The lady in the black clothes sort of hears you lot talking about hotels and sort of comes over. Hello, I'm heard you talking about hotels in Venice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would suggest actually the Gritty Palace is probably the best to stay in. It's very nice. And my father, he always suggested that to me. And then she trails off it with the crying.
Yeah. I'm very sorry.
Oh, yes. It is a terrible thing. I have been on holiday in Milan, and my father was well when I left, but sadly I received a message yesterday that he has died of pneumonia. Unfortunately,
and in the canal. Mm-hmm.
Be very careful with what the canal waters.
We will.
But yes, the Gritty Palace is probably the best place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
The food there is good. But yes. Are you visiting much of Italy?
Well, we're following the route of the express along the way to Constantinople. Stay lingering a while, I think.
Ah, good. I'm obviously returning for the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Here, he shows you the locket. There's a not very old looking chap in it. Quite stern looking, but not in a nasty way. Just sort of I am from a period of time where all photographs look stern. You can't possibly spy on your photographs. That would be, yes, he used to work at the university, you know.
Oh.
Philosophy and, religion. Are you in Venice for anything particular?
Oh, well, we see the sights. Here the library has a quite fascinating collection of texts.
Oh, well, there are rightly several libraries
in
Venice, yes. The two main ones are the one at the university, of course, and the other is the Bibliotheca Marciana. Although that is relatively small, but it has how do you say the writings of Venice.
Ah,
so if more information about Venice and less about just general things.
Oh, I see.
Oh, apologies. This is Bise. The maid sort of looks at you and goes. You get the impression she doesn't actually speak English and doesn't really understand what's going on, but you just nodded at her, so she could probably need to nod back. Less so about the... Yes, it's a terrible time. The winter has been very, very harsh. Have you, did you enjoy Milan? Have you come from Milan?
Oh yes, we've just come from Milan.
Ah, yes. I was hoping to see Aida, but there seems to be some confusion.
Yes.
I don't quite understand. I believe the star has gone missing or something.
Yes, the magic case.
More feel. Just a little pang of guilt. Oh, incidentally, okay, you will have gained 1d4 sanity points.
Oh, alright.
Because you managed to get back a piece of the Sinet Glass in the park.
Can I just roll a d10 and ignore it a bit? About 4.
D6 would probably be a little easier.
Okay.
There's about a million dice on this table.
Yeah, but how many of them are d4s?
Excuse us a moment, there will be a very rattling.
I found a d4.
Please do that.
Yeah, way. Orally, yeah, really.
Great.
There we go.
When you say we get
your
can't you get both your initial talents?
No.
Yeah, there's no point in doing that.
Well, there we are then.
Cool. Alright, still saying. Good to know.
So anyway, yeah, you sort of spend the next couple of hours sort of talking to this woman who turns out to be called Maria Stagliani. You get the impression she's mostly talking to you lot to take her mind off the fact that her dad's dead.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What was her maid's name, sorry?
Bice. B-I-C-E. But yeah, it takes about, well, you start getting to Venice about 5 at night. So, given it's the 1st of February, it's fairly dark now. You can hear lots of bells tolling in various church bell towers. You want to make me a listen check?
Nope.
Sorry, I'm behind with right stuff down. I just passed that.
You will have heard those bells before. You heard them in dreams then. But yeah, in dreams then, you remember hearing exactly these bells.
Is it a particular peal or?
No, it's definitely heard these particular bells. You seem to think it was when, you know those weird guys who were all going along in one long procession on the flying lion?
No.
Hmm.
Well, it was then.
I wasn't actually here from the dream of Sam's message, so.
Ah, right. Well, you were there.
Well, I was there, but I wasn't there.
But you weren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, those bells were ringing at that time.
Okay.
You eventually pull into St. Lucia Station, Venice, which is on your map, off the map.
It is not on the map. There's just an arrow that says, to the
Venice Station. So yeah, you spend a little bit of time getting your giant crate that rattles horrifically. Who's actually getting it down off the train?
Probably be me.
Okay, make me a constitution check.
Yep, half.
Then make me a dex check.
That one did not pass.
Okay. So you're sort of pulling it out, and it's quite heavy now. It's got the largest part of the death cast in your mind coming out. So pulling it along. But yeah, you managed to get it to the outside pretty good. And then, as you're pulling it down, you slip, and you trip over, and the corner of the box lands squarely on your left arm. And raises this really nasty bruise on your left arm. Giving you 2 points of damage.
Oh.
I am probably going to laugh at him at this point.
There we are.
I will clip him round the goddamn ear.
Also make me a luck check.
No, I did not pass that.
The lock on the crate seems open. The top starts to yawn open.
Sorry, no.
While that palaver is going on, Maria Stagnani has just gotten back, and these chaps come strutting over. And by strutting, I do mean strutting. They're doing that walk where their heels click very obviously on the ground. They're all sort of similar. They're heavily built. They look a bit, they don't so much look beefy as sort of porky. They don't look weak by any shape of the word, but they've got like rolls of fat at the back of their collars of their black shirts. And despite the fact that it's, you know, winter, they are sort of wearing like longish shorts. They come strutting over, and there's this other chap with them, and he, well, he definitely looks like he's made entirely out of pork. His face is very red, he's got this hair that comes over the top, and it's very oiled, but it comes down in a very well-coiffed sort of wave down the side of his head. His face, however, is bright red and obviously profusely sweating, despite the fact that it's the middle of the winter. He's got a completely black shirt on with brass buttons and this sort of thin leather thing coming down to a pouch at his waist. Very, very well polished brass button on his belt. And he comes over and, he starts talking to, Stagliani. He doesn't seem to be like someone you particularly wanted to see. He's sort of going, yeah. As he's sort of whispering at him. Spot him?
Nope.
No.
No. It just seems like he obviously knows her. You're not really sure of the connection between the two?
There's no kind of family resemblance to the locket.
Oh, God, no. No, this guy... Well, the guy in the locket looks stern, but sort of vaguely patrician. This guy looks like he was made out by piling bacon up on a human-shaped mould. Especially as he's a fascist. Every now and again he takes out his handkerchief and dabs his forehead. After a short amount of time, you're still fiddling with your boxes, because it's difficult for you now, because you've got this massive bruise across the middle of your left arm. You can see he's sort of showing her towards this motor launch, but she's like going, I'll get myself there, obviously in Italian. I realise the way you speak.
We can gather from the gesticulation watching.
Yeah. You could all make me a 1% Italian check. You might get to ticket.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Nobody's getting Italian.
Oh.
But yeah, she seems to be, like, not that interested in going with him. And after a couple of seconds of this, this guy comes steaming over from the other side. This guy, you know the movie star Valentino? This guy looks a lot like the movie star Valentino. Sort of quite a Roman nose, swept back hair, quite well looked after hair. His clothes don't look like super modern. They look like they've been well worn, but they're very well kept. And he comes storming over and he starts yelling at this man made out of pork, gesticulating wildly and trying to place himself between Maria and the guy in the black shirt. The problem is there's six other guys in black shirts who sort of start looming around him. What are you doing? She seems to be sort of asking him not to get involved in some way, you think?
Okay, have we got the box down and everything now?
Yeah.
Okay. Warsaw cannot help, cannot leave a lady in distress. You know, she's fighting for her life against the guy who stole her voice.
Yeah, because he can do it there.
Oh, yeah.
He can absolutely leave her the fuck alone there.
Oh, the greater good. The greater good.
The greater good.
What is the maid doing at this point?
The maid's sort of standing there looking confused, basically.
Okay. So she's wading not in with her winner wrestling
No, she's entirely pointless, it turns out.
Don't that math work. I could just step in there and say, is everything alright? No, I'm saying this in English.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sure it will be fine. The well-kept young man who was facing up against everybody sort of fades into the back. And, the man made out of pork looks you up and down and goes, yes, who are you?
Ah, Alderman Watson.
He crosses his hands hands across his upper chest. He's making an obvious attempt to look like Mussolini. Like, it's obvious he's trying to make the attempt to look like Mussolini. A Mussolini beefy chap does not work on this porky chap. Because he looks like he's...
Completely different mean.
Yeah. He looks like he's resting his arms on his stomach, which doesn't seem right. Hello, who are you? What are you doing here? And the black shirts behind him, they were all quite young men, it turns out, sort of start bristling at you, doing their damnedest to radiate menace.
I'm going to try and counteract with charm.
Okay, go right ahead then.
Okay.
I'm going to be standing behind him, trying to radiate menace back.
Tiny Tim Boxley stands behind you. He's got a bit of the alcohol in him now.
Yeah,
and he's standing behind you guys. like a Yorkshire Terrier facing off against several Irish wolfhounds.
No. the little kitten bit you. Don't mess with me. I have a tough.
Yeah.
Yep. Make my charm roll.
Do some real.
Oh yes, I'll do the roll. Thanks. I half that a little bit. Algernon Wolfstache just arrived on the Orient Express, here to enjoy the delights of Venice with my compatriots. And you're?
Me? I'm Alberto Rossini.
Ah.
I am one of the local black shirts.
Ah, I see. I see.
I'm very important.
Oh, but of course.
Hand over your passport.
For inspection?
Yes.
I'll show him my passport.
He takes it from you, hands it to one of his black shirts, who gets out a notepad and then starts basically copying it by hand. And you? Points at the other two. Passport!
So, have we done something?
I am a member of the black shirts. It is my job to ascertain foreign nationals are not communists.
Well?
He says, raising his crossed arm to almost the level of his neck, in an attempt to look more important. Passports! Now! Immediately!
I rummage through my bag.
Eventually you find it. He takes it off you and passes it to a completely different black shirt who starts copying it.
Tim looks at Wolfstache for instructions at this point.
Now, Tim, let's cooperate with a nice gentleman.
And his passport doesn't look happy about it.
I have a question. Is your passport real or not?
Question is there. Did the people at the foundation do anything about it? Make sure I have one.
They might have done if you bothered to ask them.
Because he probably didn't have one when he turned up.
Well, no.
And there's a good chance he'd have gone, I don't have one. And if they just said, go sort it out, it's not real. If they sort it out for him, it is. So it's
make crazy. A look check.
Yeah. I passed that by quite a lot.
They got you a real one.
Alright, it's a real one.
You hand it over to the black shirts, and the black shirt starts copying it down, and it takes a good 10-15 minutes for them to copy all the information down that they feel they need, and then he hands them all back.
Thank you.
You should watch yourselves.
Oh, of course, certainly.
Communists are everywhere.
Ah, yes.
It is our job to stay on complete watch for them.
Guy, sure you'll spot them.
Trying to work out their sarcasm or...
No, I halved my charm roll. I'm being very charming.
Mm.
Have you spotted communists?
Yes, well, Miss Stagliani, please, onto the boat now. She sort of looks at you all the
way. We'd like to invite her to tea at our hotel, actually.
Yes, we were just heading there for dinner.
I see. Do you know these people, Miss Stagliani? Yes, they are, friends of my mother. They are going to be coming to the funeral.
Yes.
Rossini gives you a look. It's a, I can't tell if you're lying or not, but I assume you are, you dirty foreigner. You know, you'll have seen that look a lot on the UKIP. Yes. Sorry, They're being douchebags lately. He sort of gives you a look and goes, I see. Well, very well then. And stomps off to the boat. He stomps off so quickly, he leaves the rest of the black shirt standing around going, until he stops the boat and says, come on! And they all sort of, whoop, and turn around and rush off.
Thank you, thank you. It's, yes, well, it's very difficult. The young man, Giorgio, he is my, well, he is very romantic, and he always wanted to marry me, but my father was not, well, he wanted to marry me, but my father was not so much for that, dreaming. But, Alberto Rossini, he's very old and fat, and, his breath, could never possibly have, married that monster.
Hmm.
But he keeps making his offers.
Yeah.
But, thank you for getting me away from him.
Quite alright.
I definitely suggest the Gritty Palace.
Yes, I think that would be a nice place to head for dinner, certainly. Get our rooms there.
Well, I would actually like to go to my house.
Yes, of course. Of course.
I have many preparations in here.
Of course.
You get a gondola, which proves to be interesting. The waters of Venice are not pleasant. They're like almost oily, and they stink. Not just like, but they stink like almost like oil or gasoline or something. It's like a putrid sort of scent rolling off them. And your gondola pulls you along to Stagliarni's house. She thanks you all and says that he will no doubt contact you at your hotel. But then she sees the place is all done up in black bunting and sort of dissolves and rushes into the house. Vice just goes and walks into the house after. Your gondola is sort of. Yes, where?
Gritty Palace.
Yes, Gritty. Yes. You start pulling you along.
It's not going to be like first round or anything.
It takes about half an hour to get there. You get the impression he might have taken you the seat. And when you get there, he holds his hand out and waits for a not inconsiderate amount of money.
Okay, well, you will pay the man.
You go into the Gritty Palace. It's like, huh, it's really very nice in here.
Oh, this is going to cost so much.
Certainly, probably Izzy and Clarissa are paying for this one.
Yeah.
Unless you're using the money from Professor Smith. Remember, you do have £1,000.
You might have to break into Professor Smith.
But yeah, you get yourself, how many rooms do you want?
Well, we'll go with twin rooms.
Three?
That was six. Yes. Well, if we get three twin rooms, that's a good trick.
Sure, that's fine.
Maybe just have two rooms with three people each?
Probably not. Too many women.
No, true.
No, too many men.
Too many men. Too few rooms. No, I'm talking rubbish. You're right. No. Yes. One too many men.
Well, we could put four men in one and two ladies in the other.
That'll be a bit cramped. Sure.
Well, yes, but if we're not going to do twins, then
well, possibly.
Why are we going to do twins?
Maybe three then. I think you were.
Yeah,
right,
okay. We'll do twins.
Oh, right.
Yes, okay. Doing twins.
So you sort of talk to the people and they go, oh yes, we can do you three twins. I don't know what they can do. It's very interesting. I spent 2 weeks in Italy. You would think I could do an Italian accent now. I fucking can't. Yes, you organise three twin rooms, and how are you getting a footage of that? Or are you letting the books do?
Well, I think if Tim and I collaborate on
it'll be difficult
days.
For you because of your arm.
Okay.
Can I help? I'm freakishly strong.
You're surprisingly weak, but freakishly strong. It's really strange.
Yes. Well,
a cold wind will will give her tuberculosis and she'll die, but if you ask her to lift Cthulhu over her head, she can do it.
No.
It's really strange.
Probably use that then.
Attention, I would be able to wear down his opposition, but alas,
within dead this has been dashed. I have no doubt that the black shirts were involved, however. It is the sort of thuggish nature that they show. They are fascists, and evil fascists at this.
It does seem a possibility that Rossini wants to,
with their father out of the way, he can control her.
Yes, yes, that would present a strong motive.
He is an evil man, and a fat man, and a man made out of pork.
Yes.
You have seen him?
Yes.
He's red of face, even in the depths of winter. Any normal man would look pale and cold, but not him. He has so much fat upon his body, he is kept warm at all times.
Yes, like a candle factory.
You know, in Venice, near Christmas, there was a riot nearly. The fascists, they have warlocks, well, they have chased some communists. I'm not so much a communist, I am a socialist. They have barricaded themselves in an house. And you know what the fascists did?
They set it on fire?
Yes.
That sounds like a little horrible thing a fascist would do.
They all burned to death.
Terrible.
It is a terrible place to be nowadays. But yes, I love Maria. I wish to marry Maria. I wish to be with Maria. She is my art. She is my soul. And the emerging power of the proletariat also. I'm just going to wait while you stop giggling. You see, the people and the marriage, they are a one thing. It is a great thing. And they are my two true loves. And these fascisti, they will take both of them from me. The day after tomorrow is the Stagliani funeral, and I think that possibly you should attend as well. I'm sure Maria would be happy to have you there.
Yes, she did. She would be there.
I intend to be at the funeral myself, as it is my last chance to show my respects to her father, who, although he disagreed of me, was a good man nonetheless, and no doubt died fighting the fascisti with every ounce of his poor, poor, frozen body. Those evil, black-shirted bastards. My apologies, but I feel very strongly on this subject. Hopefully something lucky will come from my gesture, and I hope I can rely upon your help when this thing comes.
Certainly.
And remember, the fascisti, they know who you are now. They will no doubt be watching you and plotting. This is the sort of thing they do.
Yes.
Right. I must away. I have many pamphlets to print. flamboyant.
I was holding it in the dark fucking thing.
Can I just ask? Is that how you remember it from last time?
Yes, that is exactly how I remember. Remember, Giorgio.
Thank goodness for that. He bounces out.
What makes tender performance?
So then, what do you do?
I'm not quite sure what to say.
Well, he might have a point. Murdering a poor man might have been the sort of thing they do.
They are fascists.
But do we want to get involved with this while we're here?
Well, if we have the time, certainly. I mean, it wouldn't be right to leave a poor lady at the mercy of a, well, fat pig man.
Now, we're not feeling guilty about the previous lady that we left behind, are we? Said the inspector.
None of that.
Yes, but let's be honest.
Well, we had to make sure we secured the torso. Important. The greater good and so forth.
Yes, the greater good. Every time you use it, I'm going to say it back.
Yeah.
So then, are you doing anything else this evening, or are you going to go to sleep?
We're on the fifth floor, aren't we?
You are indeed upon the fifth floor.
That's quite high up, ain't it?
Yes.
So no one's going to come sneaking in, are they?
Well, not through the windows, most likely.
That's all right, then.
They could come through the doors. There's stairs to the doors.
How big is this hotel?
It's not like a sprawling edifice, but it is very tall. The building's probably about 20 metres tall. You're on the top floor of that room. So each floor is about 4 metres tall in and of itself.
So how many
which
rooms?
Which is, for those of you in America land, shockingly tall. It's confusingly tall.
How many rooms per floor?
There's probably 5 rooms per floor. They're quite big, they're quite airy, they're quite pleasant. At the moment, they're pretty cold. Because they're so tall, all the hot air rises, so they're a bit chilly at the moment. But you get the idea that in summer, it'll be lovely, because all the hot air will rise.
Mm.
And they do have, frankly, enormous windows, which run from about 6 inches above the floor to about 6 inches from the roof. So okay. They're 4-meter long windows.
And what's our view?
You.
Towards the canal? Away from the canal?
Well, actually, below you is the street. Well, it's the street that runs directly to the canal and ends at the canal.
Right.
So if you look out of your window and look right, you can see the Green Canal.
Okay.
But there is a road directly below.
Yeah. If I look out, is there much lighting in the street?
There's a bit.
Is there anyone loitering about?
Make me a spot hidden.
Nice.
And you're perfect.
Yeah.
And they're disappearing.
Yeah.
You can't see anyone.
Okay.
There's a few people moving up and down, but not that many. It's quite cold. It's also starting to get foggy. Yeah, it's starting to get foggy now, and it's pretty cold. Although, from what you can see, the fact that it's getting foggy means the tide has changed, and it also means that the canals are looking a bit less, you know, grim.
I guess we could see this. What kind of, what's the setup of the room? Do we have like a sitting room and then 3 off? Or?
No, because you've got 3 rooms.
We've got 3 rooms, so.
You've got a sitting room in which is like a sort of a chaise longue type bed.
Okay.
It's a bed-ish, really. It's not really intended to be a bed for a long term. Mm-hmm. But then you've got another room off that with an actual bed. And you've got like a washroom with a toilet and a base and a bathroom with a bath. There is a bath at the end of the corridor.
Right, so are the 3 rooms interconnecting?
No, they've all got their own set.
Okay, and what kind of locks do they have on?
Standard hotel.
Just kind of like.
Tiny Tim Boxley, make me a locksmith check.
Yeah. I'm looking at unlocks. I passed that.
You can tick it.
I can.
Because you passed it. Right, you could probably get through this lock in about 10 minutes. If right. not less, if you've got them. They're not great locks. Plus, if you apply a boot to them, they'll probably pop it.
Yeah, I could break in there pretty easy if I wanted to. Oh, that's reassuring then. They're all next to each other.
They are all next to each other. Basically, there's your 3 on the side of the hotel. There's the bathroom on one end, the 2 of the rooms on the other end. Although, you don't think there's anybody in the 2 of the rooms at the end. It being winter and all, people don't usually go on holiday in winter. Well, not to Venice.
Did many other people get off the train apart from us and Maria Stepion?
The old woman, girl who sounds like she's from Newcastle, do you think, got off? They've pretty much been getting off wherever you've got off. Although you keep sort of missing them because maybe you'll have like a day where you go ahead and get ahead of them. There'll be a day where they'll go ahead of you. Yeah.
Okay.
Not very many other people. The people who did get off were obviously Italians coming back from maybe business in Milan.
So presumably Clarissa will be with Izzy in a room.
Yes, probably.
So the question is, who's putting which rooms where and where are you putting the stuff?
Well, yeah. You and Old Staff are together.
Yeah.
On Wolf Stash. Yeah,
he's not going to share his friends.
Because Wolf Stash claims that he and the inspector.
No, I do.
Yeah. You're a bit confused, Tiny. But anyway.
So who's having the crate?
Good question.
Possibly whoever's sleeping in the middle room.
Well, who do you want to put in? Basically, you get to choose.
I can take care of it. I can fight anyone who comes for it.
Okay. So you're going to be in there.
Fair enough.
And Old Staff is going to be in there then.
Yeah.
Right. Okay then. So, and you've got the crown. Right. Any constitution check, will you?
Okay. I did not pass that.
Okay. Yeah, you get it in there, you get it set up. Have to admit, though, by the time you've done it, you're a bit puffed out. So what are you doing? Are you doing anything else before?
I will be trying to find something suitable to put up against the door, or...
Yeah, there's churches.
Churches?
Churches. You can just jam a church. Yeah, there's chairs. You can jam off under the thingy. I have no idea why I said churches. But yeah, you can jam a chair under the door handle and things like that.
Yeah, that sounds sensible.
Okay then.
If someone's sleeping on the sofa thing, right, we can tell you just move back front of the door and they're sleeping on it.
Uh-huh.
Good luck to them getting in there.
Okay. So, you basically sleep in front of the door.
Yeah. Okay. I am a god.
You are a or make me a listen check.
Oh,
stupid
dice. Oh god, no. Oh no, I don't
want
that.
Okay. Well, in that case, you don't hear this until it's right under your window. About 4 a.m, you hear somebody running along the street outside, screaming, Marty! 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 And just running along. What are you doing?
Looking out the window.
Okay, you dive up from your bed next to the door and rush across the room and throw the curtains on. And you can see, like, a woman running into the park towards the Grand Canal. From the Grand Canal, down the other way, sorry. And she seems to be shouting, Marty, Marty! What are you doing? You two can see that if you look out the window.
Then what's she yelling?
Okay.
I wonder
if... So I go, go back to bed.
I wonder if this is normal for Bennett.
Do you want to make me a 1% Italian check?
Yeah, right.
Dare I ask?
Okay. So neither of you work out what that means at the time.
No.
You go back to
school. I do have Latin, if that would make any difference.
Let me just check what
Latin
is. Maybe a Latin check.
Is Latin more of a written thing, or a...
Well, yes, and also no.
They made us do it out loud at school.
Yeah.
Just... Not actual, like, proper sentence.
It's not actual Latin.
Yeah, it's like even worse, isn't it?
make me a Latin check.
Okay.
Make me a Latin check.
No, I can't roll anything like under 70.
Okay, well, give me a second then. You think she's shouting about. Like mortar, brickwork or something?
That's odd.
Oh no. Maybe?
I'm not sure. I'm a bit rusty. Hmm. Oh well.
Wait, did you see someone running past the window?
Well, on the street.
Oh, on the street. So if there's someone running past the window, we're on the 5th floor.
Yeah.
We're looking out the window.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you looking out the window as well? It's the middle of the night.
It woke me up.
Yeah, you see a woman running along the street shouting, Marte, Marte, Marte! Running from the Grand Canal down further into the island.
We've established we've got no idea what water means. We're going to go back to bed.
I'm going to try with my 1% roll, because hit, why not? No.
Not a fucking thing. The inspector doesn't know either. You just sort of go, huh, what's gotten into there? But anyway, you go back to sleep. You wake up in the morning. What do you do?
After having some breakfast.
Ah, so you head down to breakfast. Are you having the full English or the continental?
Well, one should be, when in Rome, except obviously it's not Rome, it's Venice. I'll have the continental.
The inspector, asks you to get in, while he goes off and sees that table.
Mm-hmm.
He comes by saying, I think they're going to bring them to the table. Oh, what about you two?
Full English.
Okay.
I'll go for the continental.
So, two continentals, two full Englishes. You all sort of sit there, and they do indeed bring some papers to the table. And I assume you read them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're bringing the English version.
Well,
it turns out you may have been witness to the aftermath of a murder.
Yeah.
Oh.
Basically, a woman, Anselma Moretti, was found having escaped from the scene of the destruction. Her fiancé, Mario Rossi, was discovered impaled upon a 10-foot-tall iron spike and torn about the throat as if by a wild beast. She's been held by the police.
Well, I think she did.
I don't know. Well, they certainly got her in custody.
What was his name? Something Rossi?
Mario
Rossi. Who was impaled on a 10-foot-tall spike.
We could pick him up there. Something?
Where was this? Down by the canal?
Well, yeah, it was down by the canal, but it was further up the Grand Canal than where you were.
Right, okay.
It seems like she was discovered near one of the churches, which is on the interior. And your road would have been the fastest way to get there.
No, there are no churches in the room.
No. No, you don't use the church to block the door. I don't know why I said church. It's very strange. This is going to be a fun one to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I blame my exceeding tiredness.
Yeah, don't edit this. Put it up as is.
No. just no. One, because we've turned the preamps down, they won't be able to fucking hear us. But anyway. Yeah, so you sort of sit and you have your breakfast. The inspector sort of picks at his. Like, these people do not understand the French. You can finish mine up if you like. So you knock your way through a continental and then through a full English mostly. Well, he's got to make sure he's nice and warm in the winter. And yeah, you're just finishing breakfast when the maid of Miss Stagliani is shown. She sort of wanders over and hands you a letter.
Thank you.
And then wanders out again.
Yes.
It's from Miss Stagliani thanking you for your aid and asking you formally if you'd like to come to the funeral and to visit her home, which is in the San Marco district while you are in Venice. But that's, she leaves it open until when you are gone, but she does tell you when the funeral is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same funeral that Giorgio wished you to go to.
Yes. So when is that? Is that tomorrow?
Yes. It's late morning tomorrow. Oh, incidentally, we are now on the 2nd of February,
right?
Yes,
so it is.
Friday, the 2nd of February, 1923.
It's so much easier writing notes with Tim than it was with Sadie. Like, Sadie would have had full sentences here. Tim has got invited to train girls to have a funeral tomorrow.
Score.
Yes. Make me an occult.
Okay.
So I believe you've got that.
Yes, I do have occult. 35%. I don't pass it.
Oh well.
Dark.
Never mind then.
Indeed.
You sure there's something about yesterday's date? But anyway. So, what are you all doing?
Well, there's that library that was mentioned that specializes in stuff about Venice, the bibliothèque.
Well, you will have written it down.
The name. Bibliothèque. No name.
Oh, it's in the guidebook.
Ah.
Bibliothèque.
Well, there's two places you can look for information, because you've also got that church where the devil symbols are supposed to get.
Marciana.
Yes, Marciana, that was it. Bibliothèque Marciana. So that was the stuff about Venice, sir.
Yes.
That would be the best place to figure information about today. Napoleon bringing stuff.
Yeah. Plus, handily, it may actually be French. Danny.
Yes. Nice. Speak French.
Yes.
I'm assuming the academia is the university.
Yes.
Academy.
Yeah. And possibly there may be information at the friary, depending on
I put that behind the other places.
Yeah.
In terms of importance. We can really go there if it comes to it, but...
Okay. So, are you heading off to, that place?
Oh, I think
so what, it's Friday, isn't it?
Yes.
Can we just ask up in the hotel if we need any... Because it says there's only a dozen tables with 6 seats each. So just to check if we need any kind of, like, ticket to go in or any...
You can just go in as long as the place is not too busy. It is winter, so it will probably not be too busy.
Okay. That is... It's on the Piazza San Marco, so...
Which also makes sense.
The Basilica of St. Mark is...
Oh, right, yes.
There as well.
I'm trying to think where probably is going to be somewhere else.
That's not marked on
that. Yeah, you don't actually know where that is.
That was the something to Santa Maria.
It was San Maria Celeste. Mm-hmm. You can't see it on that. So, Bibliotheque Marciana. The Bibliotheque Marciana is very much not a large, library at all. But it is quite extensive when it comes to information about, Dennis. As mentioned, it's quite a lot of it is in French. Basically, you can very easily find out that Napoleon's troops entered Venice on the 31st of May, 1797, after, well, basically a shameful capitulation by Venice's Senate. Rather than, withstand Napoleon, they just went, nope, open the gates. The French soldiers were garrisoned in the city, and Napoleon began making an ambitious plan for civic reform, including disbanding most of the monasteries and removing 4 bronze horses from St. Mark's. Although they were actually returned from Paris in 1815. Do you want to make me a library use model? Preferably people who can speak either Italian or French.
Okay, I can speak French. Libraries. Yes, I passed.
Okay.
Woo! I passed. I'm on between.
Wow.
That is the one you find first.
Mm-hmm. Official report summary, Captain Dubois, 16th November 1797. Sir, regarding the disturbances of the last 3 days, I must report that on the 13th of November, an unruly mob of Venetians gathered at the San Marco barrack gates. They defied my request to disperse. The reason they gave is that they wanted me to deliver one of my privates, Jean Boucher, to their hands. They claimed that he had caused this grievous plague that affects Venice by evil arts. They seemed to genuinely believe this superstitious nonsense. Defying my direct command to depart, they attempted to storm the barracks and seize Boucher. I ordered the men under my command to fire. The first volley was directed over the heads of the mob. No second volley was required, and the crowd then dispersed. I then put the district under curfew. I interviewed Boucher and found him a docile soul of low intelligence and little enterprise. Why, the sole loot he'd been able to gather on our glorious march across Europe was an odd porcelain leg. Boucher seemed to think that surprised, although I doubt any other man under my command would think so. The next day, a delegation of prominent Venetians of the district visited me, and again requested Boucher be tried for witchcraft. I imprisoned them all as the ringleaders of the mob. There the matter rests. There can be no further such unrest in the district under my command. On the 15th of November, that occurred, which I have described to you privately. I deal with this in detail in personal documents as not fitting for the subject of an official report. There is an annotation from his senior officer, Major Coutmont, commending his prompt action dispersing the mob without bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a leg.
You've made a successful library use as well, haven't you, Clarissa?
Yeah.
You do find out that there is records of a plague that spread through the city after Napoleon's troops entered, which basically inflicted crippling left leg pain for no readily apparent cause. As noted, you found the official report of Guillaume Dubois, which was the incident where he had to fire upon the craft. That's a quick look. They haven't told me how long each library check takes. Oh, actually no, it seems like they're going to allow you to do 3 in a day. Mm. So, do you want to make me another library use check?
Yes. Let's see if you can find the trophy's personal documents.
Okay.
Yes, so they might be.
So far, incidentally, you've been here 4 hours.
Tiny Tim is probably going to be quite bored, swinging his legs, fetching books when people tell him to, and kind of just, you know, keeping an eye out for anything vaguely interesting.
Okay. Where did you leave the crate or the
Or you could have left him there, along with Mr. Oldstar.
That sounds like a plan, actually, because there's not
yeah,
him with the
Yeah, he can't do anything.
He's supposed to do the legwork for us. Yeah, we leave Tim in the hotel.
Yeah, sit in the hotel with the box.
Okay, so you're with the box.
Yeah, keep an eye out, anything suspicious.
And it's been 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah, that one did not succeed, unfortunately.
And what were we doing in the library?
Mm-hmm. Remember, you can ticket.
I will use one luck to pass.
Okay. Right. Basically, you're both searching the library for this diary that he mentions in the previous one. And you realise after about an hour that he's got it in his hands and he's reading the bits about visiting all the prostitutes of Venice. So he has snatched it out of his hands and Clarissa, you find that. Please feel free to read it out.
Okay. Right, look, here it is.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, well, Right. Diario Captain Dubois, this is the 15th of November, 1797. Returned home last night, the 14th, most satisfied with my action in dispelling the riot. As Voltaire said, I have only ever made one prayer to God, a very short one. O Lord, make my enemies ridiculous, and God grant. Well, lovely. It was very satisfying to see the looks on those full Venetian faces when they were bundled off to prison. I hope their visit teaches them the comparative value of reason and superstition. At home, I found my Cherie stuck at struck by the plague. Faith is as brave as one of my soldiers, but her leg has crippled and twisted overnight. She is only 2 years old. She should not be thus afflicted. I returned to the prison and questioned the delegation leaders. They told me to talk to Boucher. So I questioned him again later that night. I also pored over the strange artificial limb he so prizes. My leg ached as I handled it, and still aches at this moment. It is that the mere sight of this truncated limb in porcelain stirred some vestigial memory in my agitated mind, so that it felt as if my own left leg were amputated. That's not the whole leg. I took the leg from Boucher and tried to break it. It would not break. I tried to burn it. It would not burn. It is not porcelain, but some strange unyielding substance that not even diamond will mark. That damn delegation was right. It is something evil, although I defend Boucher. He has merely carried it here. I'm not going to admit my folly to those Italian fools. I realised what to do at last. The idea was so fitting that I burst out into a loud laugh. Last night I buried that cursed leg in the secret within the San Marco Basilica, under the black paving stone in the chapel of St. Isidoro. That's what it says, isn't it? Well, to my delight this morning, my dear little Cherie has recovered. She is as bright as ever. Today I hear from the medical staff too that the plague is steadily abating its virulence. I have given orders that the delegation to be quietly released.
waylaid me this afternoon. He wants compensation for his prize. That claim may go long unanswered.
Right.
So
what you've just found out, to put it into perspective for you, is that the leg is hidden in the Basilica di San Marco, one of the largest and most famous cathedrals in all of Europe.
Under a black stone. So we have to go into this cathedral and dig up part of the floor.
Potentially, yes.
Great. Yes, that was sarcasm. Right.
Is there anything suspicious yet?
No.
Okay.
You spend another 3 hours sat on a box.
I'm going to keep trying to look and listen for anything weird.
Maybe it's far hidden.
I guess we're all the best. My car.
You found something weird.
What?
On your window ledge.
Ledge vampire?
No!
Oh, I knew it. I knew it.
God damn it, face on it again.
I want to blame myself for having mentioned it, but don't have a hand. Don't give a fuck.
But yeah, there's 2 drops of blood over
the window. On the inside or the outside? Alright. If I open the window and look up, there's nothing up there.
The roof?
Is it wet blood or dry blood?
It's tacky, but then it's been quite... Well, let me put it this way. It's very moist today, and the canals are, frankly, fucking horrible. They are sluggish, and, well, they stink really badly. People have started leaving fresh flowers in, like, little street shrines of the Madonna and St. Mark, but it doesn't really do very much to combat the stench of the canals.
Okay. Anything looking down past the window ledge?
The floor?
I'm going to close the window.
Okay. Well, you didn't actually open it.
No, I thought I did to look at that.
Oh, right.
In that case, you
closed the window then.
If I was trying to see up to the roof, then I'd have to open the window to look up that.
Are any of you two doing any further stuff in the library for you?
Would it be useful to look up something about the history of the St. Mark's Basilica to see if actually...
Yeah, I suppose we get some information on that might make it useful.
Well, if there's anything we can find out about this chapel inside, and if it's... I assume it'll be obvious where it is.
Yeah, make me a library's check.
I just passed that.
Okay, basically, the Basilica San Marco is a magnificent building. It is full of treasures and good things. There are 4 bronze horses supposed to be taken from Constantinople near the entrance. Inside, the vaulted ceilings rise high into the darkness, gleaming with gold and gems. Numerous chapels house icons of sad-eyed saints. It's a massive tourist attraction. You specifically look up the Chapel of St. Isidoro. It turns out that it's a little chapel in the left transept. It's sort of like a tiny and quite dark recess, which is mostly filled with the tomb of St. Isidoro itself. So good, he dropped his pencil.
Yes.
But yeah, it's sort of off down the left transept and in a little alcove. So it wouldn't be like on the main thoroughfare, but if you start taking a pickaxe to the ground, you might attract some notice saying,
yeah.
Is there anything else that you...
Oh, we could find out about the San Maris.
Make me a library use check.
No.
What about you? Are you joining in?
Yeah. I half that.
Right. You discovered that it was a church, and it used to stand in the Castello district. However, it was destroyed by the arsenal fire of 1569, which started when fire broke out in the shipbuilding naval center of Venice. The fire, supposedly, was started by a number of Ottoman saboteurs.
Sorry,
1569? 1560. The manuscript possibly burned, however, some books were saved from the fire. It's been demolished now, it's been turned, well, its convent didn't burn down, and it's the School for Naval Mechanics.
Did
it
say where the saved books went?
Didn't know, but there were only two libraries in
Levis. If you didn't be here, it wouldn't be at the university.
Yep.
And again, from the university.
So, whereabouts is this district?
Castello.
Okay.
It's in the Castello district. You're in the San Marco district. Castello, San Marco.
Okay. Have we looked in this library for this?
A manuscript that old probably wouldn't be on the square.
Right, okay. Maybe we should come back when
we've got
like an Italian
speaker.
Okay. So you put that on the back burner until Izzy's back, or old staff's back. Or Wolf there suddenly learns to speak Italian.
James, he gathers Italian.
Ah. Yeah. And then,
we're on the like ledge.
We're back to love lines again. So anyway, I take it you are done in the library?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, you start walking back to the hotel. Right, make me a coffee.
Yeah, I passed.
Marissa?
No!
The stench of the canal nearly makes you throw up. It is horrible. It looks like the sort of liqueur that falls off dead bodies. It stinks like it too. The whole of the canal looks oily and foul and disgusting. There are indeed fresh flowers in all of the street side shrines, but they're not enough. They're nowhere near enough. Do sort of walk back to the hotel relatively quickly because don't really want to stay out and about. Maybe spot hidden checks as well, actually.
Yes.
Yes, I passed him.
Both of you spot a man in a black shirt sort of standing on the corner watching you come on towards your hotel. Once you head into the hotel, you sort of linger a bit and you see him nod to himself and walk off. So you head up to the room. Are you going to explain what you found to Tiny Tim Boxley?
Yes.
How's my ledge looking? Has it changed? I've been watching it.
Well, the blood's dry now.
Alright.
Plus the fog has actually settled, isn't it? Filling the street below was less moist, so the blood has actually dried out. Or possibly frozen.
It was the most interesting thing to watch. Really boring.
Got a really bad rash on the chest. But anyway, what are you going to do?
Updating everyone.
Okay. Do you want to make plans for the next day?
Well, we've got to do the funeral.
Yep.
So you said the funeral was late morning.
Yes.
Then we should probably go and look at the at that shrine.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just to scout it out, see what area it is that we're looking at.
Don't need your pickaxe quite yet.
Not exactly.
They haven't actually explained that bit to you yet. Are you going to tell him what you want him to actually do?
Well, we think we've found where the leg is. Buried inside chapel. which is inside the cathedral. So, we're going to have to dig it up. But I think we should look at the area first, figure out how we can do this safely.
Like what you do with your trick?
Yes. Yes, right. Actually. Quite a good analogy, Tim. Well done.
That's quite a good analogy, Tim. Well done.
Tim goes back to scratching.
Fair enough.
He's an itchy rash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably about 6 o'clock at night. Having dinner, obviously. Well, you go down to dinner in the evening, you find that the staff is all of a hubbub. Oh, my goodness, that's quite amazing. They all seem to be talking about this strange thing that's happened in the town. You want to do anything?
Well, just ask them what happened.
Ah, well, you see, the statues in San Marco, during the evening service, every single one of them wept. I heard it from a friend of mine who was there. Yes. My uncle's brother was also there.
So that's your father.
yes. My cousin's wife saw it as well. Yeah, they all of them seem to have somebody who was there. But none of them are there to tell.
Like that.
But yeah, you get me from the service. Very nice.
These
Italians
are very excited, aren't they?
And that, Your Honour, is where we're going to finish for the evening. We hope you've enjoyed this brief foray into Venice. They really do need an Italian speaker with them, I believe. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Please feel free to send us emails to thecultoftandice@gmail.com, or you can talk to us at cultoftandice, or you can talk to me at Morgan, you can talk to him at Bloody Fox, you can talk to her at T Gremlin. You can't talk to her because she's not good yet.
Give us your chameleon theories. We want to know what you think the chameleon was about.
Yes. I want to know what the chameleon was about.
please send us to the Twitter address at CultTMDice your reasoning behind the chameleon. Please tell us. We've got to know. But anyway, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Bye!
Bye.
Come.